Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Central College and Humanities Iowa, presenting the new podcast Mid-Americana, Stories from a Changing Midwest. New episodes from Season 1 are available at midamericana.com or wherever podcasts are found.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. There are all kinds of people engaged in conversations about climate change right now. Scientists, environmentalists, politicians, students, business people, activists. Justin Bryce Gariglia is using art to get his point across. He's known for his large-scale photographic, sculptural, and installation-based works that explore the relationship between humans and the natural world. He's probably best known for the provocative series he calls We Are the Asteroid, in which he uses large LED traffic signs to amplify his message. He'll be speaking at the University of Northern Iowa tomorrow evening in Lang Hall in the auditorium at 7 p.m. His speech is titled We Are the Asteroid, Art and the Ecological Crisis, and he is with me now. Hello, Justin.
Yes, hi.
Thank you so much for being here. And I know that for many years, you worked as a photojournalist working for National Geographic, Smithsonian, The New York Times. You lived in Asia. What led you to leave that behind and then move into the, I guess, less certain world of art?
Well, you know, it all started when my first child arrived. And I started looking back at my career and some of the things I've been seeing and experiencing when I was spent, I lived in Asia for 20 years, and I realized that there were some important things that I wanted to express, and I found that photography was not the medium that was really capable of expressing a lot of things I wanted to be expressing. So I realized that I needed to work more as an artist and have a richer vocabulary. So bringing in materials, processes, and scales, and things that you don't typically see and have with the medium of photography. But being over in Asia for that long and working for all these publications, you're exposed to a tremendous amount of things. And at a certain point, I realized I really wanted to express some of these things that I've been really feeling and experiencing, and I wanted to communicate these things. So. And of course, those things are all connected to this notion that we live in a new geological age. We live in a new period of time where humans have become the most dominant force on the planet. You know, humans have become the greatest geological force on this planet. So,
tell me more about the kind of vocabulary that you have through art that you wouldn't have as a photojournalist, because I can imagine a lot of people thinking, well, what's more straightforward than taking pictures and telling a story about what you're seeing happen?
When you're out and in the field and you're starting to learn about all these different things, it becomes very overwhelming when you start hearing from the scientists that, you know, oh yes, there's global warming and there's ecological collapse and you have all these species are losing their habitats and they're collapsing, whether it's bee colony collapse or the collapse of the bird population or insect populations. And what you end up realizing is that it's incredibly overwhelming. You don't know where to start. You don't know where you're supposed to end. And it gets very confusing. And so at that point in time, I turned to philosophy. You know, philosophy is a great way to figure out not how to answer your questions, but how to actually figure out what questions you need to be asking. So I started reading a lot of philosophy and then reaching out to philosophers. I also started reaching out to poets and other writers. And it was from there that I started to realize that, well, you know, okay, so text is something that's really can be very incisive and is something I really wanted to work with. So I started playing around with text. And of course, a text and a photograph, they don't really quite go hand in hand. So, you know, photograph is a very direct, it's a beautiful medium, photography. It's so direct. But also, you know, with a lot of the works that I'm making, whether I'm incorporating a textual component or if I'm bringing in a material like polystyrene, which I use in a lot of my work, or aluminum. And these are defined markers of the Anthropocene, or the Anthropocene being the new geological epoch that we're in, the human age, right? So a lot of these things you can't really do with just straight photography. You couldn't, you know, I couldn't figure out how to incorporate them. So that's kind of how I ended up working more in the realm of bringing in all these different other parts to develop a more broad practice, more broad art practice.
Can you tell me about maybe the first project you did that you really felt was at least starting to say what you wanted it to say?
Well, you know, so in 2015, I picked up the phone and I called NASA and I asked if I could join them on some of their missions that they were flying, these earth science missions they were flying over Greenland. And one of the things I was trying to do was get out in the field and access these very remote, very, you know, places that you just can't go outside and go for a stroll in Greenland over the ice sheets. And so I was able to join them on the mission and fly over these vast, this vast white icy terrain and photograph and document. Here, going back to my roots, I was collecting, you know, what would be raw material for the work I was planning on making. And so at the time, though, I wasn't sure exactly what I was going to be making with these images, but I knew that this was important. We were flying over these glaciers that were melting at a rate that was historically unprecedented. And I just knew that it had to be documented and that I had to take something, I had to take these images and then do something with them that would pull them out of this typical kind of photojournalist type of place and move them into a place where they would resonate on more levels. So what I ended up doing is bringing them back to my studio and then printing them onto a very thick polystyrene material. So polystyrene is of course a plastic. It's refined from fossil fuels. It most likely passed through the hands of the Koch brothers at some point. And I'm here, you know, using it and putting it on the wall and depicting a glacier that's melting on the surface of the on the surface of the material. And of course, the glacier that was printed on the surface of the material has long vanished. So the ice I'd photographed actually a few weeks after I photographed it, that ice had melted. But that material will last a million years. That material does not biodegrade. And so here is probably a good example of where material comes in and really starts to speak volumes. Because then we can talk about Marshall McLuhan, right, the Canadian theorist who wrote the book, Medium is the Message, right? So here the material is the message, the material is carrying the message. And then Kant used to talk about how there's a gap between phenomena and noumena, you know, the thing and your the way you perceive something and the way something actually really is. And so this work actually feeds into this, into these other kind of notions because of the material and because of these other properties that you can see when you when you're standing in front of the work and you're experiencing it, which is something you can't really do online. You can look at it on the internet and
right.
it wouldn't make any sense. But you walk into a museum and you actually have a different type of experience in relationship with the work.
So I have looked at this work online and I would love to see it in person, but when someone sees it in person, you have less control over what they're seeing, what they're understanding, and how they're feeling than you might have had as a photojournalist. How does that feel as an artist, and what can you do to make sure that the person standing in front of that art has the experience you want them to have?
Well, so that's the beautiful thing about it, actually, about art, is that, you know, people can, everybody brings in their own perspective. So you're letting people actually experience something and experiencing it through their eyes and giving them the opportunity to process it based on all the things that they've ever seen and known and experienced.
I want to talk a little bit about We Are the Asteroid, which you've done a number of iterations of this. It's also the title of your speech at UNI on Wednesday night. Mm. But you've done installations with those large LED signs, the kind that we see telling us that there's been an accident up ahead or you need to merge into the left lane. Tell me where that idea came from.
Well, you know, as you just said, these are signs that typically tell you about what's on the road ahead, right? They're kind of telling you about what the future holds for you as you're driving down the highway. And so I thought it was a very apt metaphor for when we're talking about climate change and global warming and ecological collapse, that we're thinking about the future, right? So the project came out of a collaboration I was doing with a philosopher who is based at Rice University. His name is Timothy Morton. And Tim wrote a book called Hyperobjects. And when this book came out, I started to really get into his a lot of the things he was writing about and thinking about. And his philosophy is very, very focused on ecology and the environment. So I called him up and I asked him if he would be interested to collaborate with me to do a project where we would use some of his text and essentially for him to create a series of aphorisms which I could weave into my work. And I wasn't sure exactly how I was going to use them at the time. But he and I pulled together a list of several hundred aphorisms. And one day I was driving down the road and going into New York City, and I saw one of these signs on the side of the road, and it wasn't flashing the right text. It had a problem. The software wasn't functioning properly. And I couldn't get out of my mind because it wasn't telling me what I thought it was going to say. You know, I thought it was going to say, warn me that the slow down, you know, traffic in the tunnel. And of course it wasn't doing that. And that's what lodged itself into my brain. And I thought to myself at that moment, oh, this would be the perfect medium for these aphorisms. And there's three lines. I also call them eco haikus because of the nature of how they're broken into three lines. And I started putting them onto these signs. And I bought one sign and we put it up at Storm King Arts Center, which is a big sculpture park north of New York City. And that's where we debuted the work. And then it just took off from there. And we have three of them now traveling around the country. And then we did another series of them over in London at Somerset House, where we put 10 signs up. And they're mostly public art works. And the one that's coming to University of Northern Iowa is called We Are the Asteroid 2. And We Are the Asteroid 2 was actually funded by the Union of Concerned Scientists, who gave me a small grant to make the work. And it contains, this one has about 8 aphorisms on it that cycle through. So if you stand in front of it for about 40 seconds, you see the entire installation. And it's all the text from Timothy Morton, these aphorisms, trying to get people to think ecologically, right? You know, how do we get people to think about the fact that we have become really disconnected from the natural world around us? And so that's what the work, that's the role of this work. It's trying to get people to think ecologically, think about our relationship with the natural world, rethink it.
It's hard to measure how much of an impact something like this can have, but your career as an artist was really born out of this need to really make a difference and get your message across. What makes you feel like that's working? Is there something that you've heard from someone or something that you've observed that makes you think, yes, I'm getting it done?
You know, I'd say that, you know, the role of art really is to question and challenge our moral, philosophical, and aesthetic judgments. So, I mean, that's how art can really transform us and our society and our politics. So I think just by the sheer fact that it's there and it's in people's consciousness, right? It's helping. A lot of the work is trying to just broadly raise the public consciousness of these issues. That's how culture works. You know, that's how the cultural sector works. You know, artists are really able to help kind of influence and drive culture. And it's a slow, it's not a direct thing. It's not like you just, you know, you go in and you place a vote and you know the result, you know, the next day.
Right.
Art is something that's much more long-term. It's more of a slow burn type thing. And so the idea is to really just help raise awareness and help to try to shift is culturally, and it takes time. It's not a, it doesn't transform. We can't transform ourselves overnight. I think that as long as the work is out there and people are experiencing it and able to engage with it, I think that's where we can really, you know, artists of all types can really have a tremendous impact on how we advance ourselves as a civilization.
I was talking to a 14-year-old not very long ago who is really scared about climate change, and I was asking what she's hoping to do as a career, and she said, well, I think I have to be a climate scientist because saving the planet is all I care about. And I told her, I said, you don't have to be a climate scientist to make a difference. And I'm curious, what would you have said to her? What would your response be?
You know, I'd say we're living in rather unprecedented times, right? And I think what we're dealing with is something that's incredibly abstract, and it's very, very difficult for the public to engage with. And so a lot of the issues that when people have some sense of fear for the future, I think a lot of that ends up becoming an issue more of like, how do we communicate? How do we translate these incredibly complex and abstract things into something that's very human? That's really the issue that we have today, is humanizing this thing. Now, in terms of more practical on-the-ground advice, I think it's really just, you know, trying to learn as much as you can about the issues that we face today. And I think that's really more than half the battle.
Justin, thank you so much for talking with me.
Nice speaking with you.
Artist Justin Bryce Gariglia. He'll be at the University of Northern Iowa tomorrow evening speaking in the Lang Hall Auditorium at 7 p.m. His speech is titled, We Are the Asteroid, Art and the Ecological Crisis. His art installation, We Are the Asteroid 2, will be on the lawn to the east of Macher Union on the UNI campus starting tomorrow. It will be there for at least the next 2 weeks, maybe longer. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.